Blog Talk Radio.
I dream.
Oh, we lost him.
Of a city called glory. So bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, holy. The angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all.
I bow my knees and cry,
as I entered the gates of that city. Talked with Mark, sat down with Timothy, but I said, Timothy,
glory, and God is right indeed. We serve a mighty God, a glorious God, a powerful God, a loving God. Thank God for that. Thank God God's merciful, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. Well, I want to welcome the listening audience this evening to the Sound Doctrine broadcast, coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California, where the sun is shining, indeed. We want to thank those around the world and our own nation here who have sent emails and entered the chat box and have called into the station, and those of you who have prayed for us, so we certainly appreciate those prayers, and we're grateful. And we just want to welcome you this evening to some good Sound Doctrine preaching. I thought we'd take an evening for a little bit of a sermon and see where the Lord leads us and what we can get. I hope you brought your King James Bible with you and you're prepared and ready. I mean, what's the sense of going to a Bible study without a Bible? Amen? Why go to church without one? Amen? All right, so let's have a prayer and we'll get right into this. Our text tonight's going to be Isaiah chapter 29, verses 13 to 15, Isaiah 29:13-15. I'll give you a second to get there, and then we'll get settled in and we'll pray. We've had a wonderful week, and God's been good to us, and he's blessed us, and we're back on the air again. And thank God for Nathan, our sound man, and our switchboard, and our controller. We've been blessed. So Isaiah chapter 29, verses 13 to 15. So a prayer. Holy Father, we bow down before you tonight, Lord. This listening audience has come to hear thy word. This thy word, Father. Father, set me aside and let nothing come from me tonight that is of my flesh and not of you. Touch this listening audience. Open their eyes and ears, Lord. Help them, Father, in how you would have them to learn. Lord, lead them in the way that would glorify Jesus Christ. Help them in their Christian walk, and we thank you, Father. And let us know tonight, Lord, when we walk away from this program that we've met with you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the title of this sermon is called Lip Service. Lip Service. And it has to do with prayer and lip service. You say, what's lip service? Well, let's go over to Isaiah chapter 29, verses 13 to 15, and see what Isaiah says, the prophet. Isaiah wrote, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of man. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among the people, even a marvelous work, and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Oh, Lord have mercy." That's a mighty statement there from God to the listener. Amen. Isaiah, lip service. Isaiah's talking about lip service. Isaiah said, "This people draw near me with their mouth, but with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me." Jesus Christ quoted Isaiah 29 to the Pharisees because of their hypocritical lip service. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 15:7-8, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You know, I detect some hardened hearts out there right now. I that's kind of a gift that God gives a pastor, that he knows what that message is going out there. And there's some listening this evening with a hardened heart. They didn't come with a prepared heart. They haven't come to pray and to study. Your heart is not ready. Now I would ask you to pray with me. Holy Father, prepare my heart. Touch my heart. Soften my heart. And if there's any sin in my life, Lord, forgive me in Jesus' name. Help me, Lord, to receive what you want out of this message for me to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jesus Christ You see, he quoted this in Matthew 7 and 8 when he was dealing with those hypocrites, those Pharisees. He said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You know, you need to remember what Moses said in Numbers 32:23. Moses said, "And be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out." Some of us, and I say us, I'm talking to Christians, because if you're an unsaved man, I don't know how you're getting your prayers answered. But I know God's merciful. But some of us, Christians, can't figure out why our prayers aren't getting answered. And oh, sure, we come to church for Bible study on Monday, on Wednesday, on Sunday, and we attend those services. And sure, we're there, but are you wholeheartedly there, my brethren? Are you? Young and old, boy and girl, I'm talking to you tonight, Christian. God wants to touch your heart with something. There's something in this message to touch your heart. Don't dismiss it. The sweet psalmist David said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Let me say that again. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." That's Psalm 66:18. Christian, if a Christian brother or sister has iniquity in their heart, he cannot pray fervently, he cannot pray in faith, and he cannot pray in spirit. And you say, "Preacher, what's that mean, to regard iniquity in my heart?" Well, I'm glad you asked that tonight, and I'm glad you asked. So let me tell you what it means to hold iniquity in your heart. A person who regards iniquity in their heart, number one, indulges in thoughts about sin, desiring to sin in their heart, although they restrain themselves for doing it. Number two, regarding iniquity in your heart, number two, reflects on past sins with delight or without repentance. Number three, approves of the sins of others or tolerates them without disgust or criticism. You allow people and your friends and your family and even Christian brothers to sin before you and not comment to them about it. You are more afraid of damaging your friendly relationship with a person with a foul mouth than telling them, "Excuse me, sir, you have a foul mouth." Or, "Excuse me, you swear a lot." Well, that's not swearing, that's French. No, that's to pardon my French. No, that's not French. Parlez vous français, that's French. Not the language you're using. There's nothing wrong with standing up for God. Don't compromise your Christian walk for your friends. The Holy Spirit lives within you. Do not subject the Holy Spirit to that. So a person who regards iniquity in the heart indulges in the thoughts about sin, desiring to sin, although restrained. Number two, reflects on past sins with delight or without repentance. Number three, approves of the sins of others or tolerates them without disgust or criticism. Number four, hesitates to confess sin and to judge the sin in his own life. And number five, practices sin secretly. Now, if you can't get your prayers answered, well, my brother, I want you to know that maybe it's because your sin has found you out, just like Moses said it would. Now, God answers prayers in three ways. In three ways: yes, no, and wait. Those are the three ways that God answers prayer. And remember, before I said there are conditions and laws which do govern answers to your prayers. So let's discuss that tonight a little bit. I'm trying to help you. You know, I get tired of hearing people say, "Oh, well, there's nothing encouraging in the message. I didn't find anything." You know why? Because you're being convicted by the Holy Spirit of your sin, and you're not encouraged because fingers are pointed at you from God. I'm just the delivery boy. I'm just the pizza delivery guy. I knock on the door and deliver the pizza. It's how you eat it the way you want. But I can't do nothing but preach what God's put on my heart. I tell you what, I'd rather drive 50 miles to hear the word of God than 5 miles to be fooled from some fool preacher who's going to sell me a bottle of miracle water for $20. Silly people buying that stuff. I'm trying to help you tonight. There are conditions and laws which govern answers to your prayers. A lot of Christians never been taught this. They just don't know it. You're a young Christian and nobody's taught you yet. But number one, you must believe God. You must believe God. Jesus Christ said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Got that? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's found in Mark 9:23. Jesus Christ said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this financial problem, this drug addiction, this enemy, this crisis, this jailhouse, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Hey, I don't know what your mountain is. But Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. That's written in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. I know it's correct. I know it's true because it's the word of God. So you need to, first of all, to have faith if you want your prayers answered. Secondly, you need to ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name is not abracadabra. We don't say amen in the name of the Lord. We say amen in the name of Jesus. Jesus. You say, what's the difference? Because Jesus said to ask in his name. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. When we pray in Jesus' name, what we are saying as Christians is, Father God, answer our prayers based on our relationship to Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgave us our sins. We believed in him. We have been born again, and we are your son. We are your daughter. We are your child of God. And so answer our prayer, please. We ask in Jesus' name because of our relationship to Jesus. Listen, if Jesus Christ did not go to the cross, you would not be praying in Jesus' name. You would not be saved from your sins, and you would be on your way to hell. Well, that's hard preaching. That's a fact, son. I can't change that. A fact doesn't have to apologize for itself, and neither shall I, because I'm speaking facts from the Bible. You must ask in faith. You must ask in Jesus Christ's name. And here's the third one. You must be in fellowship with God. Jesus Christ said, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. For from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. John 14:7. The psalmist, King David, he wrote, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. Isaiah said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. You see, you need to believe God, you need to ask in Jesus Christ's name, and you need to be in, to stay in, fellowship with God. And the fourth thing you need to do to get your prayers answered is don't ask for wrong things. The Apostle James said, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. What you're asking for is not for the glory of God, but to consume upon your lusts. And if that's what you're asking for, then God's not going to answer that prayer. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. All right, you say, well, preacher, I'm doing good so far. I do all those things. I have faith. I ask in Jesus' name. I'm in fellowship with God. Now, I don't ask for wrong things. All right, wait a minute, I'm not done yet. Number five, you must be obedient to God's word. Oh, you must be obedient to God's word. The Apostle John wrote, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You see, we do those things. We just don't go to church and hear those things. The preacher's not some entertainer standing up at the pulpit for your entertainment. He's bringing forth the word of God. There was a time in America when a preacher came to town that the whole town would assemble. Oh, he'd set up a tent, or he'd get up under, bring his wagon, and he'd get up under an oak tree somewhere in the shade, and he'd stand there with his Bible, and the people would come from everywhere to hear. We want to hear what God has to say, because God has sent a man to us who God has chosen to bring a message. And the whole town would come out. Today they call the police on you. That preacher, that man you go to church to listen to, he's God's man. You need to hear what he's saying. Hey, maybe God's not talking to you about the whole message. Maybe there's just one word in that message that God's going to use to change your whole life, to get you on a path and keep you out of trouble. All we like sheep have gone astray. Amen? Hey, listen, by the time you get to Sunday night, you've been in the world, and you've got the world on you. You've seen things you ought not to have seen. You've heard things you ought not to have heard. You got the world on you. You go to church on Sunday to get regenerated, to get cleaned up, to get conviction of sin, to get those things out of my life. Teaching on Wednesday night Bible studies, teaching will edify you. It'll help you grow. But preaching will bring conviction of your sin and help to change your life. We need teaching, but we need preaching. Well, what's the sense of going to church to hear what the preacher says and not do it? Do you know what you're saying? You're saying, I don't believe you, God. I don't believe he's a man of God, because if he was, I'd be doing the things he said. And I don't believe that this is your message, because if I did, I'd be doing the things you said. You say, all right, preacher, all right. Well, preacher, I'm doing good so far. I do all those things. I have faith. I ask in Jesus' name. I'm in fellowship with God. I don't ask for the wrong things. All right, wait a minute. You must be obedient. That's number five, to God's word. You say you're so good so far. Okay, amen, brother. I'm glad. Here's another condition to your answered prayers. See if you're still good. Number six, you must desire God's will. Remember how Jesus Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? And Scripture says, and he went a little farther, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. All right now. You say, preacher, I believe God. I ask in Jesus' name. I even have fellowship with God. I don't ask for the wrong things. I'm obedient to God's word. And preacher, I desire God's will. Is there anything else? Well, hey, I'm glad you asked that tonight, because there is something else. Here's number seven. You must pray according to God's will. The Apostle John in 1 John 5:14 wrote, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You see, there are conditions to prayer. These are the conditions for answered prayer. Number one, you must believe God and have faith. Number two, you must ask in Jesus' name. Number three, you must be in fellowship with God. Number four, you don't ask for the wrong things. Number five, you must be obedient to God's word. Number six, you must desire God's will in your life. Number seven, you must pray according to God's will. And God's will, my brethren, is found in the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. If it's not in the Bible, it is not so. If your pastor is teaching you it, if your teacher is teaching it, and it's not in this Bible, it is not so. I don't care if he's Rick Warren. I don't care if he's Billy Graham. I don't care who he is. It doesn't matter if it's not in this Bible, if he's the Pope. If it's not in this Bible, it is not so. This Bible is the Christian's manual for life on how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the final word of faith and practice. And anything outside this book that contradicts this book is wrong. The book is always right. God is never wrong. And someone will ask, well, brother, how come I see backslidden brethren getting their prayers answered? You know, I've seen that myself. But I'll assure you this, that's not what you're seeing, my brethren. If they're getting blessed, it's because of someone else's prayer for them, or Satan's providing for them to keep them in sin. Did you get that? You see, you say, well, that brother's living in a backslidden state, and he's getting blessed. Hey, listen, maybe God's answering somebody else's prayer and preserving that brother's life instead of just taking him out of the world. Or maybe Satan's providing for them, and he's keeping them in sin, and they don't even realize it. But if that person who's praying for him stops praying for that brother, whoa, look out. You better look out. Now, listen, brethren, I know one thing. I know God's long-suffering, and I know he's going to deal with a backslider and a reprobate brother. And don't let that old backslider discourage you. Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The wages of sin is still death. He may have eternal security, but he doesn't have physical security. You remember what Paul said about those backslidden brothers at Corinth. They were in sin. He said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That's 1 Corinthians 11:30. And that sleep, my brethren, means death. God will take an unrepentant sinner, an unrepentant Christian brother, from the face of the earth. God will bring them home prematurely. Amen. God will bring them home prematurely. You are bought with a price. It's like a garden in your front lawn. I've said this before. Think about it. God planted Adam and Eve in the garden. Oh, yes, they had their joy in relationship with God. But why did God, the Creator, create them? For his pleasure. And yes, when you take a flower and you plant it out in your front lawn in their garden, and you water that thing, and you nurture it, and you take care of it, it becomes a beautiful thing. Amen? Well, who's it for? It's for your pleasure. And you are planted on this earth for God's pleasure. You're bought with a price. Jesus Christ, precious blood. And your function and your job as a Christian for the rest of your life on this earth is to glorify God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. I did not write it. It is the word of God, and if it's written, it's true. God's not hearing the backslider's prayer unless he's praying a prayer of repentance. Psalm 66:20 says, blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Hey, God's mercy is seen in three ways when it comes to prayer, because God is a merciful God. Number one, here's proof of God's mercy. He permits prayer. He permits prayer. Number two, God inclines his ears, leans his ears to our prayers. And number three, God answers our prayers. Who are we? What a bunch of sinners that God should love us so much. Now look, there are different types of prayers. And I'd like to discuss that before I get into wrapping this up. I'm not here to shove religion down your throat. I'm not here to beat you over the head. But brethren, I want you to understand you there's something in your heart you're praying for. You have to meet the conditions of prayer. Are you praying for the right thing? Are you praying at the right time? Has God said no? Or has God said wait? Because if God said yes, you'd have it. Sometimes we pray for things we don't understand why we haven't got the answer to that prayer. You forget, as Christians, we are in a spiritual battle here. Paul said to Timothy, be a good soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier. You are a soldier. You, as a Christian, have a mortal enemy who's at your back every day. If you're married, his job is to separate you from your wife, and wife from your husband, and from your children. His goal is to destroy your home. And if you are a single man and a single woman in Jesus Christ, his job is to bring you down. He hates you if you are a born-again Christian. His name is Satan, and he's out there. He's not a myth. He's the arch enemy of God Almighty. And he's your enemy as a child of God. You know, in Europe, they used to have family vendettas. And they'd go after each other's family, and they'd kill the father, and then the next one would beat a son, and that son would kill that father, and they'd go back and forth and back and forth. Listen, there's a family vendetta with Satan. He wants the children of God dead. He wants them out of this world so that they cannot glorify Jesus Christ. You have an enemy. The proof of that is when you read the book of Daniel. Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days, 3 times 7. Oh, that number 7. We studied that in Bible study this week. 7 mysteries. There's 7 judgments. 7 times 7, 49, Jubilee. 70 times 7, 490, the fulfillment of Daniel's 70th week. Well, Daniel prayed 3 times 7, 21 days, and he waited and fasted for 21 days, and finally Gabriel shows up, the angel, and says, beloved of God. God had heard his prayer right from the very beginning, and he dispatched the angels out. And Gabriel was on his way to bring the answer to him, but Satan opposed him. For 3 weeks, he fought. 3 weeks in our lives. Daniel, for 3 weeks, was fasting and praying, and he said God heard him the first time he prayed and sent him out, Gabriel, to bring the answer. But Satan opposed him. He called him the king of Persia, and he had to call Michael, the archangel, in. And Michael came and took the fight over so Gabriel could get away to get to Daniel. There's spiritual warfare going on around you. The only one who doesn't want you to prosper in this world is the adversary of God and your adversary. One kind of prayer that's in this Bible is called an imprecatory prayer. You know, an imprecatory prayer is a good example of what's found in Psalm 58:6. David says, break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. That's some prayer, huh? But a Christian does not pray an imprecatory prayer. We are not under the law. We are under grace. Scripture says to you and I in Romans 12:19-21, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen? Hey, hallelujah. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Listen, if you got unforgiveness in your heart, you're not going to get your prayers answered. And unforgiveness will turn to a poison and a root of bitterness inside you, and it will destroy you. I knew a preacher who spent most of his life trying to get even, well, not a preacher, but a brother who spends his whole life trying to get even with another brother. What do you waste your time for? Put them in God's hand. Get on down the road. Avenge not yourselves. Vengeance is mine. If you take vengeance on somebody, you're stealing from God. You can't steal from God and get blessed. So we're talking about types of prayers. That's an imprecatory prayer. We don't pray that. We don't pray break their teeth in their mouth, oh God. Oh, we like to pray it, but we're Christians, and sometimes we feel that way, but we have to repent of those thoughts and say, God, you were merciful to us. You forgave us for all our sins. Why can't I forgive somebody else for theirs? So another type of prayer is called an intercessory prayer, and that's where the person praying seeks for another. He pleads on behalf of another person. A good intercessory prayer would be found in Luke 22, 31 to 32. And we find that, you know, in our Lord and Savior. He made an intercessory prayer for Peter, the apostle. Jesus said, and he prayed, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Amen. Hey, Jesus Christ stepped in that gulf between Peter, Satan, and he prayed the Father, what? I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Are you praying for your fellow brethren in the church? What about the baby Christian that got saved? Are you praying for that baby Christian? You might be a mature Christian and handle life in a different way in the chastisements of the Lord when you get offline. But what about when the attacks of the adversary come? Are you praying for the Christian brother? Have you prayed for the preacher? Listen, you look outside the window of your house and you see those high-tension wires that run out in front of your house on the poles. Well, you see that wire's got the juice in it running across there. That's your pastor up there. See, he's bringing the word. He's bringing the word. You're the telephone pole holding that wire up. It's up to the congregation of the church to support the pastor in prayer. It's up to you to pray. God, protect our pastor because Satan wants to tear him out of our church. God, protect my wife and children because Satan wants to eat my family. And he'll get in there. He'll get in there in your music. He'll get in there in your speech. He'll get in there in your friends. He'll get in there with your television. He'll get in there if you don't watch out. You need to be vigilant. A soldier is vigilant. You got to be ready. You got to be on point. Because the adversary is looking for ways to hinder your prayers. He's looking for ways to keep you bound to sin. He's looking for ways to destroy your family. He's looking for ways to destroy your life. Your finances. Hey, I'm not going to tell you, so $10 here, you're going to get $100 tomorrow. I'm not going to give you some testimony. You gave me a dollar and $100 showed up in your mailbox the next day in some letter that you don't know where it came from, which the preacher put there himself or had somebody else come to the house. We're not playing games with the Word of God here. We're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to help you out tonight. You say you get excited and holler a lot. Hey, listen, if you're not excited about the Word of God, maybe there's something wrong with you. You go into any bar downtown San Diego, California, any bar in this country around the world, start preaching the gospel, you're going to see some people get excited. They're either going to tell you to shut up or keep going. Amen? People get excited. But I'd rather tell them the truth than be a liar. Why do I want my friends to go to hell? And what kind of friend am I anyway if I haven't told them? Well, if I tell him, he's going to think I'm strange. They're not going to want to talk to me. I'm going to lose it. Hey, what's more important, your relationship to Jesus Christ or your relationship to your friend? That's what I want to know. My goodness. The Apostle Paul said, I exhort, therefore. Exhort means to stir up. Paul wants to stir you up. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and given of thanks be made for all men, for kings, those are in authority over us, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's found in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Amen? You know, what? There are people that don't even know why we have a government. Why and who started government? Listen, the first human government began when Noah got off the ark. And God gave Noah the highest authority given to mankind was to take a human life. The purpose of government is to restrain the ungodly, not the godly. Listen, if you're walking with Christ and you're saved and you're a godly person and you're holy and holy means separated unto God, you don't have to worry about the government restraining you. Your neighbors don't have to worry about the government restraining you, the police coming after you. You're walking a godly life. Now, I'm not saying governments aren't corrupt. There are corrupt governments. There's corruption wherever there's sin. We're in a sin-laden and a sin-marred world. But government was supposed to be to restrain the sin of the ungodly man. The man who's walking with God, he's not in sin. Not committing crimes. Well, we hate our government. Listen, pray for your government. So one kind of prayer is called an imprecatory prayer. We saw that. Amen? Break their teeth. We don't pray that. An intercessory prayer is somebody standing in between. You know, there's a prayer called a personal prayer. A little common sense, right? Listen. Matthew 6, 6 and 7. Jesus said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Now listen, he's saying, don't sit there and give me the rosary. Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace. Father God, Father God, Father God, our Father who art in heaven, our Father who art. Listen, our Father who art in heaven is not the Lord's prayer, because in the prayer, he says, forgive us our debts. What it is an example of how you are to pray. Our Father, the disciples said, teach us how to pray, and he said, pray in this manner. He did not say, pray this prayer. If you want to read the Lord's Prayer, you read John chapter 17. That's the prayer that Jesus prayed. And there he said, I pray not for the world, but those that thou hast given me out of the world, his children. Our Father who art in heaven, yes. Yes, we recognize he's God. Hallowed, holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come, it will, in the millennium reign. Thy will be done. When? On earth and as it is heaven. Yes, we desire that, but when's it going to be done? Millennium reign. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Listen, you and I are not forgiven by how we forgive. We were forgiven by the crucified Jesus Christ. The love of God constrains us to forgive others. But if I die and I haven't forgiven my neighbor and I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. I'll answer for that sin at the judgment seat of Christ. How? By loss of rewards. See, I don't get it. Go to church. Find the Sound Doctrine Church where they teach the Word of God. Going to all these apostate churches and NIV Bibles and RSV and ASV and New King James and all this nonsense. Listen, if you're sitting next to somebody with an NIV in church and the guy next to you has an RSV, your two Bibles can't say the same thing. You know why? Because they got copyrights. You can't infringe on another person's written material. That's why there's no copyright in the King James Bible. Because God wanted everybody to have his word. You say, well, the words are archaic and hard. Hey, listen. You know what? Some of you people make me laugh. This Bible was written in a fourth grade English language. Fourth grade education. the these and thous are too hard, huh? Well, how come when you go to church, your pastor told you the these and thous, try this Bible, it's easier to read. How come you're still singing, oh, Lord, thou art the Lord, thine is the kingdom? Well, what's going on there? Why didn't he change his hymns? They're not too archaic in his hymn. Somebody's fooling you. And finally, brethren, the Apostle Paul said, be careful for nothing. You know what that means? Don't be full of care. Careful means full of care. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Be careful for what you're praying for, my brother. You just might get it. You got to think of that. You might get it. Hey, we serve a mighty God. Prayer is the most powerful tool besides the Word of God that any Christian has in his life. You couldn't get the governor on the telephone right now. You cannot get the President of the United States on the phone. Well, you could call Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will answer you. God the Father will answer you in Jesus' name. Right now, the creator of the universe. Imagine that. I can't get the president on the phone, but I can get the creator of the universe because he's my God. He's my Father. You know what Jeremiah 33:3 says? Hey, you ought to write this down. Jeremiah 33:3, that's God's phone number. You say, don't be silly. Okay, let me read it to you. Call on me, and I will answer thee, and shew thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Woo! Call on me. Hey, Jeremiah 33:3, call on me. God's office, God's phone number. God said in Hebrews, when you pray, you're to come boldly to the throne of grace. Why, my dad was an antique dealer for years, and when I'd come there as a child, I'd just run the office and say, Dad, I didn't stand at the door like a stranger and, Mr. V, are you home? Mr. V, you in your office? Hey, listen, I didn't need an appointment to see my father, and you don't need an appointment to see God. Hebrews said that you come boldly before the throne of grace. Boldly. You know what boldly means? That means bust down that door. Boldly. Lord, I'm here. I got a prayer. Hey, God wants to hear prayer, but he wants prayer that's right. I don't want to hear, oh, Lord, bless my cousin Joey. He's sick. And bless the lady down the street. She got financial trouble. And, Lord, help us to get our TV fixed. Hey, listen, God doesn't get excited over that. You're probably putting God to sleep. Oh, yeah. Forgive me for all my sins, Lord. Not even a repentant prayer. Those I remember and those I don't. Hey, cut it out. Why don't you confess the sins when you commit them? Keep a short notebook, huh? Keep a short order. I tell you what, you start praying, Lord, I got a Christian brother. He's a missionary. He's on his way to India. He's over in India. He's been persecuted, Lord. We need your help, God. God, you have to surround him with your angels. You have to protect this brother. Please, God, help him financially, physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. Help him to reach out to others. You know what God does? God jumps up on the throne and he says, we got action. Answer that prayer, Gabriel. Daniel's praying down there. He's been in the lion's den. Get on down there and help him. Right now. You want your prayers answered like that, then you have to do those things. You have to remember the conditions of prayer and meet those conditions in your life. Okay? You have to do those. If you do those things, God has promised to answer your prayers. You have to believe God. You have to have faith. Why would you ask somebody to do something if you know they're not going to do it? Or they probably won't do it. Listen, God's not like that. If you're right and you're praying right, God's going to answer you right. And I don't mean form prayer. I mean these conditions must be met. Number one, you must believe God and have faith. Number two, you must ask in Jesus' name. I don't like when I go to places and my Christian brothers pray and they say, amen, in God's name. No, amen, in Jesus' name. And I know Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, but I was commanded by my Lord and Savior to pray in his name, Jesus. God the Father's position as in the Trinity is not God the Son. And God the Holy Spirit's position is not God the Son in the Trinity. It's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and the Son has commanded me to pray in his name. So I must believe God if I want my prayers answered and have faith that he will. I must ask in his name, in the name of Jesus Christ. I must be in fellowship with God. That means my sins are confessed, and I'm right with God. My heart's right. Number four. I don't ask for wrong things. Number five, I have to be obedient to God's word. Are you being obedient? Are you doing it? Or are you just hearing it? Number six, I must desire the will of God. The Bible says that God will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean I desire a Lincoln Continental, a Mercedes-Benz. $1 million, give me that desire. That means that God will put his desires in your heart and you will desire the things of God. God will give you the desires of your heart and you will desire the things of God. And when you desire the things of God, you will be in God's will. I'm not saying God won't give you $1 million. I'm waiting on $1 million myself. Pray for me. God bless and answer that prayer so we can build a school down here and a mighty church. In the most southern end of California, in a beach community, no less. While there's a prime piece of property I've had my eye on, and the church has had their eye on, and we've called and called and called that number, and we haven't got an answer. And we're praying and praying, and we're waiting on God. He didn't say no. Pray for us. You must desire God's will. And finally, if you want your prayers answered, you have to pray according to God's will. And God's will is found in the Bible. It's found in the Bible. My brethren, I don't come out here on Thursday nights because I like entertainment. I come out here on Thursday nights because God has moved me to. And God has given me something to say. And God has called me to preach, and it burns in my heart, like Jeremiah. And I have to tell you, and I'm trying to help you. And why won't you listen? Some of you, it's just a matter of familiarity. You think you know me. You've met me. You spoke to me. Oh, now we're friends. No, brother. It doesn't matter what we are. I'm called to preach the gospel. I'm trying to help you. Will you receive that tonight? Will you receive in your heart the blessing of this message and get your prayers answered? I want you to have your prayers answered. I want you to have a happy life. I want you to have a strong Christian walk. I want you to know Jesus Christ like you know your best friend on earth. And you can do that. All you have to do is spend time in that Bible. Go to that prayer closet. Somebody made a movie, I think, called War Room. I haven't even had time to see it. You know, it's a closet, a prayer closet. Get in the shadow of the Almighty, in your secret place, and just pray. Sometimes you pray like you're talking to the air. You're really talking to God, and he's listening to you. You're his child, and he loves you. He wants to answer your prayers. Some of us are praying for wrong things. Some of us would ask for things right now that we shouldn't have, and they'd hurt us in our Christian walk. Maybe God's got a plan that he'll give them to us later. I don't know. I was troubled, very troubled once, and a Christian said to me, they said, Peter, you know, you're climbing a mountain. And God keeps telling you to go to the right and go to the left and go to the right and go to the left. And you keep thinking to yourself, wow, it's just easier if I go straight up this hill. But when you get up to the top of that mountain and you look back down, brother, you're going to be glad that God told you to make that right and make that left. Because you'd have fell off the cliff if you'd have went straight. And I said, you're right, brother. I need to trust the Lord more. Trust in God with all your heart. All right, brethren. Truly, I love you. phone lines are open if somebody'd like to call in. I know it's the end of this program. I know on the East Coast where it's late night, it's a week night. I know you go back and archive this, and for those who go back and archive it, you'll hear this later. Thank you. I can be reached at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. That's ventura.peter77@gmail.com. I want to help you. I give my personal phone number, my cell phone, over this program, this radio station, this blog talk, alternative media. Listen, we're all tired of the media. We're tired of listening to the same stories on CNN and MSNBC and you know, all those stations. People are tuning out of that stuff. Listen, this media is a great opportunity, and we've reached over 43,000 people who have heard the gospel message preached. My cell phone, my personal cell phone is 203-240-0377. And you're welcome to call if you need counsel, if you need help. But I want to extend an invitation tonight to those who may be listening who are not saved. Jesus Christ loves you, and he died for your sins. And your life is not complete, and you know it. Your whole entire life, you've had this hole in your heart. And it doesn't matter how much drugs you had. It doesn't matter what nice job you've had in your life. It doesn't matter how much liquor you have had. There's nothing that fills that hole. It doesn't matter whether you have a wife or a children. You know what I'm talking about. There's just that place in you that's empty. And Jesus Christ, that's what you need to fill that place. Jesus Christ wants to save you from an eternity in hell. And my friend, it's a reality and it's a real place. Jesus said their worm never dieth. And when you read that New Testament, you're going to find out that Jesus talked more about hell than any other subject. You thought he talked about love and mercy. Listen, my friend, he talked about hell more than any other subject because it is a real place. And he warned you, and he's still warning you through other brothers and your family and your friends and through me, the preacher. And I'm trying to help you tonight. And if you're tired of your sin-laden life, and you want to begin a whole new life in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, whosoever believeth in him, amen, do you believe in him? If you repent from your sin right now and turn away and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and just pray, say, Father, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe on the third day he resurrected, and I believe he's sitting at your right hand now, and I receive and ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. And I commit my life to Jesus. Jesus Christ will answer this prayer. And brethren, if you prayed that prayer, then welcome to the family of God. That's God's promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I just want to read you one scripture before we go off the air. It's maybe two. It's in the book of Romans. And it talks to you who want to be saved. Paul said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And you prayed that prayer tonight. I'd love to hear from you. You can call Nathan. You can call in the radio station. You can call, email me. You can call me on my personal phone. I'd love to send you some material. I'd recommend that you find a good Bible-believing. Now, remember what I just said, King James Bible-believing church. And you'll get some sound doctrine there, Lord willing. And I just want to thank the listening audience this evening for tuning in. I pray that God has blessed you, and I'd like to pray out with you at this moment. In so doing, I thank my wife, Marilyn, and I thank you for the prayers that I asked for last week. Marilyn had pneumonia. She's been ill. God's blessed her. We were up and out today, and she'll be back to work soon. She's been a blessing. And I want to thank my family, Scott Ruff, associate pastor over there, and his family for the wonderful things they do at the church, Sister Joan. There are so many, Sister Kitty and Brother Fred, who plays our music. What beautiful music. Lord have mercy. Pretty soon we'll have that available to you. And, you know, I just want to thank all the listening audience. Your prayers truly are being answered, and God is truly blessing us. And tonight I would ask you that you would bless for Renee, or pray for Renee, who has pancreatic cancer, and that God would be merciful to her and her family. And these are people that have written to me and asked me to pray for them, or I met and they want me to pray for them. Pray for this Sound Doctrine broadcast, that it would grow and that we could touch more people. Bring a friend next time to listen and help them along in their life if they need it. And always feel free to call in. I know there's a lot of radio-shy people out there. They're afraid to dial this number. But I certainly would love to have you call in and dial this number and talk to us on the air. And if not, like I said, you can call us at our home. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And we're going to pray for Smokey's sister, Barbara, also. She's not well, and we need to pray for her healing. And I want you to know that we prayed for Sister Dottie, and Sister Dottie was in remission of her. That's a wonderful thing. We've seen some great prayers answered here, listening audience, and I want to thank you for joining us in those prayers. And have you noticed something? We're not asking for your money. We're not asking for anything but you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to put those knees on the floor and your nose in the Bible and your eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you, God, for this message about prayer tonight, Lord. Thank you for the way it's touched our hearts and minds. God, thank you for the opportunity to preach the gospel. Bless this listening audience, Father God, with a wonderful blessing for the week. Until we come and meet again, Lord, keep them safe. Place your angels behind them and before them. Keep the adversary from sifting them like wheat, Father. And help them to glorify you and to dig deeper into your word and study the Bible and spend time in their prayer closet, Father. Bless Brother Nathan, who takes care of this radio program for us. And we're glad to be guests on this program tonight. And I thank you, Holy Father. I ask you to bless Chad's family and Joe Gibson and his family and those people who have asked for so much prayer. There's so many people that are hurting right now, God, that you just touch and let their spirit know that, God, we're praying for them. Touch their hearts, Father. Lift them up and make them light. Joyful. And I thank you, Holy Father. Until we come together, Lord, keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Nathan, love you, brother.
Jesus, draw me ever near. As I labor through the storm, you have called me to this passage, and I follow, though I'm worn. May this journey Your love.